Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's part two of our weekly Q&A, wherein we answer your questions. With us today, Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin, who, by the way, is also available for consultations at the Hoffman Center should you desire to get a nutrition perspective on your problem. And you needn't visit the Hoffman Center as you do with a standard medical visit with me. If you are loath to come to New York, or if you like your doctor and you want to keep your doctor, and you just want an added nutritional perspective, you can call the Hoffman Center, schedule a nutritional consultation with Layla, wherever you are across the country. What's our next question, Layla? I think it's a question that could occupy several podcasts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes. We've got an email from Madhu. Madhu is a 65-year-old woman. She had a total hysterectomy about 20 years ago and is a non-insulin-dependent diabetic on medication.
Okay.
She feels fatigued all the time.
Okay.
So that's a consult.
Well, that's a typical kind of patient who comes to see us at the Hoffman Center.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not pitching necessarily for this person to become a patient, but this is a person who's desperately in need of nutritional guidance. You know, there's a very interesting article that was posted recently, and I put it up on Facebook. I encourage you, listeners who like the podcast, to follow me on Facebook, because I'll put up articles that I think are of interest and relevance. And, you know, one of the articles that I posted, actually I posted it on Twitter, so apologies, you don't find it on Facebook. The article on Twitter, because I also have an account on Twitter, and sometimes things don't lend themselves to Facebook, so I just communicate them on Twitter. And it's a very interesting article. The article is an analysis of all the diabetes drugs. All the diabetes drugs. And it's from MedPage Today, so you're not going to see it in, you know, the standard press, not in the New York Times, or the Wall Street Journal, or LA Times, or usual sources, you know, TV. It's, I don't know, a story that I think is a very important story. It's entitled, No Clear Survival Benefit Seen Among Diabetes Drugs. Now, so that's an really interesting thing. So what they say there is that, okay, you're taking these drugs, and they move your blood sugar down. Okay? And that's what diabetes drugs are designed to do. They're designed to, you have high blood sugar, that's the definition of diabetes. The drugs fix your blood sugar. And there are literally dozens of these drugs. But none of these drugs, according to a recent big study, will reduce your risk of dying or extend your life. No clear survival benefit. In addition, you might think, okay, diabetics, by the nature of diabetes, that's the single biggest contributor to cardiovascular disease risk. Would you agree, Layla? You know, is that
absolutely
being diabetic is the biggest risk. I mean, hypertension, okay, that comes to close second.
Yeah.
But being diabetic is the biggest risk for cardiovascular disease.
They actually progress about 70% faster than those without diabetes to coronary artery disease.
Right. So the point is, this article in MedPage suggests that not only there are no survival benefits, in other words, no likelihood of reducing the risk of dying, but there's no likelihood of reducing cardiovascular disease events or risk of dying with diabetes drugs. So what are we doing with these diabetes drugs? They mostly can cause side effects, and there's not a clear benefit. I mean, they could say they might find something that they help, like maybe they slow the progression to diabetic eye disease, or they slow the progression to diabetic neuropathy, because high sugars tend to cook the nerves in the eyes and in the feet. Maybe they're not even saying that. So these drugs that they aggressively put people on, they often cause fatigue, perpetuate obesity. The one drug that I like to use from time to time, because it may have some benefits, but not even in this study, is metformin or glucophage. That may help some patients lose weight, and we use it from time to time. But here you have a lady who is going the conventional route, and, you know, we could say that a triggering event, by the way, her name is Madhu, you know, and I would guess that she's of South Asian background, because that's a name from the Indian subcontinent. And so that women in that population have a very high risk of metabolic syndrome, Syndrome X, and they get that at a lower weight than Caucasian women. They can look fine in a sari, you know, and don't seem to be that overweight.
Couple that with a vegetarian diet.
Yes, often traditional vegetarian diet, lots of white rice, lots of chapati. You know, and so that's trouble. In addition, she's had a hysterectomy. Hysterectomy is, I mean, look, all you have to do is, if you're a pet owner and you see sometimes what happens to a female dog if the dog is spayed, the dog will sometimes, I mean, it's a horrible analogy, but you'll actually see the dog develop sort of, loss of muscle tone and obesity, sometimes in relationship to a spaying, because what you're doing is you're cutting out a part of the body that's highly metabolically active, that consumes calories, and that produces hormones that may have a beneficial effect on body fat distribution. We have trouble here. And the nature of diabetes, you know, the expression water everywhere and not a drop to drink. In a diabetic, it's sugar everywhere and not a drop to drink, because the sugar is high in your bloodstream and high in your organs, but it doesn't get into the cells where it powers the machinery of the metabolism and energy production, the mitochondria. So diabetes can be looked at as a power failure, major power failure. And so what we want to do is we want to do the things to support mitochondria. We want to obviously promote weight loss. We want to, you know, perhaps give hormones to...
We want to make sure she's on the right diet.
And above all, the right diet, and of course, exercise. But hey, if you're so tired, it's a vicious cycle, because you can't exercise. You know, and many people are trapped in this predicament. It's a real prison. Diabetes is a prison that a lot of people are trapped in. And, you know, sometimes I feel sorry for these people, because they may have actually reached the tipping point, the point of no return, where they can't be managed without some kind of medicine. Otherwise their blood sugar is going to be astronomical. But the medicines ultimately treat the symptom and not the underlying cause.
Right. Yes. Yes. And so many of the medicines are stimulating secretion of insulin in the pancreas, but that's a double-edged sword, because that also, besides lowering the blood sugar, obviously, it can also stimulate hunger as well as fat storage.
Exactly.
Ah. Yeah.
So, it's complicated, you know, like the movie, it's complicated, right? You know,
it's complicated, yeah. And so many of these drugs can cause nutritional deficiencies. Even the one we like, metformin or glucophage, can cause some deficiency of folate and B12, so we always make sure
and
supplement with that.
I see a woman like that, and I go, what's her B12? You know, she's on a quasi-vegetarian diet, possibly.
Yeah.
What's her B12?
Yeah.
It's probably abysmal. And maybe she's on, metformin, which will further deplete her B12. What's her vitamin D? You know, women who already are medium complexioned don't spend a lot of time sunbathing, and the incidence of vitamin D deficiency in the, Indian and Pakistani community is astronomical. They're modest. They don't walk around, you know, they don't walk around in thongs and bikinis because there's sort of a traditional modesty, and they're not going to sunbathe because their skin is already nice bronze color. So their vitamin D is abysmally low, and that actually can contribute to diabetes and fatigue. And, you know, so there's so many aspects to this. I mean, when I see a patient like that, I feel like I'm being presented a banquet. You know, like, sometimes I see patients, I go, oh my goodness, it's just a stingy meal. I have very little to subsist on here. There's just, it's so, they're very complex and very, they've had a million, tests and they've tried a million things. But this is a patient who's so, ripe for proper intervention with diet, supplements, hormones, and, exercise recommendations. That they could turn it around big time if they got the right impact.
Yeah, so much room for improvement, really. She could feel so much better. Okay. Madhu, thank you very much for your email, and we wish you the best of luck.
Indeed.
All right. Yeah.
There's hope for you.
Yeah. We've got an email from Kevin. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Unfortunately, I sprained my ankle 2 weeks ago while casually running. The x-ray shows no fracture. The swelling has gone down, but it's still sore. My questions are, would acupuncture help the healing process? And are there any supplements to speed up my recovery? I'm a spin instructor, and this is slowing me down.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much for being there for us and all the effort and energy you put into your informative podcast and your radio program.
That, it's just really exciting to hear that a person, you know, who's really into the fitness industry deems this a useful source of information for her. So thank you for listening so faithfully. And, you know, just gives me an opportunity to mention that we've surpassed the 2.5 million download milestone.
Wow.
Which doesn't mean that 2.5 million people have listened, but, you know, that means, you know, divided up, there's some people like this person who listen all the time, and we've done hundreds of podcasts. But it means that there is a very, very sizable population of people who are relying on our information. So we feel honored and privileged. All right. So a sprain, especially for some reason in women, because women have less robust musculature. Women may also sometimes come later to athletic training than men, although not always. They are much more prone to serious ankle injuries, which become chronic, or knee injuries, which become chronic. And so, you know, we got a spin instructor who, this is virtually her occupation. And, you know, I think she's going to have to go through, and this is grievous, a period of really serious rehabilitation.
Downtime.
And unfortunately, that's very hard to do. I mean, I get it, because I would be dismayed. With the right kind of rehab. Now, acupuncture, yes, could be beneficial because it might enhance the blood flow. I also would suggest, getting in the pool and either swimming or doing, you know, stationary jogging in the pool. There's a device called the Aqua Jogger, which is a flotation device where you stand in the deep part of the pool and you run. And it's boring as hell, but it's a great way to rehab your lower extremities while taking the pressure off them. I mean, you're not touching the bottom. You're actually suspended, you know, in a deeper, you know, 7 or 7 foot pool, at least. The other thing.
What do you think of Wolfenzyme for this?
Absolutely. That's a wonderful thing because it's anti-inflammatory. It will go deep into the tissue. It's proteolytic, breaks up some of the complexes of inflammatory proteins that may perpetuate this type of problem. An argument, even though it's not a fracture, for using ostanol, which is bone morphogenetic protein, I would consider using that for this. I would also make sure we check the vitamin D, because I actually had a little conversation with a gal, I remember, a couple years back in the gym who was, you know, I saw her in the gym all the time, and she was what you call a gym rat, you know, which I admit to being, you know, it's not a pejorative term, it sounds like it, but it, you know, such a dedicated exerciser. And she came in and she, you know, she was limping with crutches. And I said, "What happened?" She says, "Well, I got a fracture. What type of fracture is that? That's an avulsion fracture, not a really like a true broken, but it's where you get a little peeling away of the periosteum. It's very painful and debilitating." And there's actually a correlation between that type of injury and vitamin D deficiency. So I said, you know, above all, check your vitamin D. She came back and told me that her vitamin D was under 20. And I told her to stock up on vitamin D. And, you know, that's a way to accelerate possibly the healing, but certainly to avoid future injuries, because vitamin D deficiency can contribute to these injuries.
In addition, for Karen, what would you say about Boswellia, curcumin, fish oil, any of those for the inflammation?
Yes, all of the above. Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, just like when you go to, there are people like vocal therapists. You know, if you're an opera singer and you have an injury, they'll sometimes teach you a new way of singing, you know, using your vocal apparatus differently. And spin instructors tend to really pound. You know, they're very enthusiastic. They're trying to exhort an entire classroom, and they really pound. And one of the things I've learned on the bike as I get older is that the temptation is to really pound, but actually being on a bike involves a smooth circular motion that's very efficient. And to avoid injury, you want to just really visualize a very smooth, 360 degree concentric motion of your feet and ankles. And she might take a look at her technique, and it would actually be a contribution, especially since a lot of the spin class adherents are sometimes older individuals, middle-aged or older individuals, to teach them how to spin in a way that will keep them injury free. So in a way that injury could be a gift that can help her understand and revise her technique so that it's a safer technique going forward. You know, I think that's something worth looking at.
Wow. The injury as a gift.
Yeah.
As a message.
It always is. I mean, I gotta say, what a terrible misfortune when I broke my hip. What a calamity. But what a learning experience. I mean, like, it just taught me, first of all, it humbled me. I mean, here I was, like, you know, this athletic stud, and all of a sudden I was like a crippled 80-year-old, you know, walking with a cane. And man, you really, that you want to develop an instant case of empathy? Oh boy, that's a great way to do it. You know, it's like dress rehearsal for being, you know, 85 or 90. It's like, right?
Yeah, I remember that. Wow. Well, but you healed up well. I mean, you really kept at it, and now you've got that titanium rod on the wall in your office.
People think it's a piece of modern art. They say, "What is that thing?" Yeah. Or is that a religious object? You know, they think, "Well, I'm some sort of Art Nouveau cross." No, it's actually literally it was in my hip and was removed after a few months. So that's good. All right, we have time for a quick question. Is there such a thing?
Quick question. Yes.
Yep.
Speaking of bone morphologic protein, Dr. Hoffman. This is from Mary.
Just to correct you slightly, it's bone. It's BMP. It's bone morphogenetic protein. That's a mouthful.
Morphogenetic.
Morpho means it makes it reconstitutes bone. It helps the bone grow. Morph means to grow, and morphogenetic means growth inducing protein.
So Mary called you on your radio show in June about healing a hip fracture, and she said you mentioned BMP, and she didn't know what that is. So that's what that is. But also, she says, I forgot to ask Dr. Hoffman about hyperbaric oxygen therapy as a potential catalyst to healing.
Yeah, absolutely. I would recommend that for, you know, any surgery, and, you know, I'm a big advocate of it. They're a sponsor, full disclosure. But I think it's a really great modality for any type of elective surgery, or, you know, even in the aftermath of emergency surgery, because you put a lot of oxygen into your tissue and you're really going to enhance circulation. And part of the problem in healing a hip fracture is that there's a dread complication, which is called aseptic necrosis, of the hip.
Yeah.
And aseptic necrosis means without an infection, you can actually get your hip to crumble. And the reason for that, I was afraid I was going to get that, but then luckily, anatomically, the hip fracture occurred where there still is a lot of blood circulation. But right at the what's called the femoral neck, it's a very narrow part of the hip, and sometimes part of the injury compromises blood flow to that area. So if your blood flow is compromised in an area where you need to heal, it's not going to heal. And one way to enhance blood flow and to enhance oxygen delivery, which is essential for the cells not to die and develop necrosis, is to pump a lot of oxygen into your bloodstream and to really supercharge the oxygen delivery to deep recesses of the body where circulation is poor. So I would say that would be a wonderful adjunct to healing. And I guess if I hadn't developed the relationship with hyperbaric oxygen in 2006, I don't think they even were in existence in Manhattan. There was no option. But, man, if, you know, God forbid, you know, I'm knocking wood here, you know, if that happens again, I'll be in the oxygen
that's
chamber.
Not happen again.
That's not happening again. It's not even in the realm of possibility. We will recommend that. So the BMP is the product is called Ostanol. It comes in different strengths. It is
morphogenetic protein.
Right. And it's based on something that is used as a technique in surgery to knit bone, but they created it in a form where it can be taken orally, and they've got some good clinicals to suggest that it assists healing, and it may even be helpful in osteoarthritis. I take it, even though I'm not, you know, trying to heal a fracture. It's also good for osteoporosis, no question. So, you know, there's some people who, have tried strontium and don't want to take it anymore. They've taken it for a while or it hasn't worked for them. We give them Ostanol and we see additional benefits. Okay.
Thank you, Mary, for your email.
Okay, so that sums it up. That's all the time that we have for this week's Q&A with Layla. So reminder that you can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, and also if you like what you hear and you want to assure yourself a continued stream of free information, that's F-R-E-E, our favorite four-letter word in the English language, you should check out our Hoffman Center store, where we stock many of the products that we talk about during this podcast, including Ostanol. You can find it there, products that are sometimes hard to access, the very self-same products that we curate for our patients, we make available to our listeners. So go to HoffmanCenter.com or drhoffman.com, go click on the store, and peruse the store for quality products, because you'll thereby assure yourself a high level of nutritional support at the very self-same time that you offer support to this enterprise, our weekly podcasts, which we love to do, but involves a certain amount of time and expense in production. Thanks for joining us, Leyland.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.